Well, this will be a little different this morning. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. Our power went out last night with these winds sometime after midnight, and it's still out, and my internet, of course, went out with it, and Kevin and Julie, their power went out, and Lynn and Nancy, their power went out. So we were all dressing by flashlight this morning, I guess. And normally I get up at 4 o'clock on Sunday mornings when Sue gets up and go over my notes one more time. Well, they're in my computer, which is down right now because of the power outage. And so, but yesterday while we were having the memorial service for Vic, the Lord kind of encouraged me to, maybe we ought to do a review once in a while. We've been studying in Sunday school about Luke for the last 3 or so years. And I had you turn to 2 Timothy 4:11. We read a little statement. There's two sentences in 2 Timothy 4:11. And the Paul is writing in it, and it is thought by Connie Barron-Howson, who did a study back in the middle 1800s on the life in the epistles of Paul, that he probably wrote this in the spring of 68 A.D., and that he was probably executed shortly thereafter, maybe in May or June. And I'm not going to argue with their timeline. They did a lot of research. So this would be, we could say this was, 2 Timothy was written shortly before Paul died. And you know what he wrote there in 4, 6 through 8, which we read all the time. "For I am now ready to be offered," Paul writes, "and the time of my departure is at hand." The Lord had told him that and showed him that. And he says, "I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course." He knew that. He knew that he had finished his course. "And I have kept the faith." And we could say the same yesterday of Vic, because he did the same thing. "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Do you love his appearing? He appears to us in ways that we sometimes don't understand. But do I love his appearing in the fact he killed my power last night and killed my internet? And yes, because that's what the Lord hatched for us today, to bring us to this point where we would cover some things that we wouldn't probably have covered otherwise. So he's writing to Timothy in verse 9, "to do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Then he writes about Demas, "who hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans, to Galatia, and Titus, to Dalmatia." They'd all left Paul. But in verse 11, "only Luke is with me." Now, we don't know a whole lot about Luke other than what we've been told the few times that Paul mentions him. And then Paul also wrote here in verse 11, "take Mark," that's John Mark, Barnabas' nephew, "and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Well, it was the same guy that had left Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey in Acts 13, and the one that Barnabas insisted on taking with him at the end of Acts 15. So, you know, that was John Mark. So there were some things that happened between that time frame and here when Mark would be profitable to Paul for the ministry he never had been before. What ministry was Paul talking about? Well, the ones that would teach Paul's gospel. Barnabas was one of those, and we mentioned this a few Sunday school lessons ago, how John Mark's uncle Barnabas, when he took him and they departed from Paul there in Acts 15 at the end of that, when Paul was getting ready to go on a second missionary journey, well, Barnabas took John Mark, and what did he teach John Mark? Paul's gospel. And so one of the things that we'll cover here this morning, if the Lord allows it, is how Luke come into the learning Paul's gospel. And then each chapter in the book of Acts, and actually what he wrote in the gospel according to Luke, all these things that Luke wrote have to do with things he'd been taught by the Apostle Paul. So we really get Paul's gospel in the book of Acts. We get Paul's gospel in the book of Luke. We get Paul's gospel in the gospel according to Mark. We all that. So the first question that I ask, or one of the first questions I ask when we begin our study on Luke, was, When did Luke first meet the Apostle Paul? Now, I'm going to ask some more questions and we'll answer this this morning. When did Paul get saved? What year? And I don't think any of us can answer that. When was Jesus crucified? What year? What year was Jesus born? What year? Well, it's not important, but then there are some dates that are important as we go along. I mean, it's not important for sure, because there'll come a time when there's time no more, you know. So the time is not important. When was Jesus born? We make the assumption he was born in 0 AD, but you do some research on it. Some have him born as early as 7 AD. So when was he crucified? Well, he was 33. Was he crucified in 33, or was he crucified before then, like 28 or 29 AD? We don't know. I tell you this much, it was 2,000 years ago, just about, when he was crucified. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was walking on the face of the earth. I'm pretty confident of that. And he's coming in today, this year, this month, this week. He's got that timing down. So when did... And let's try to answer this. When did Paul get saved? Well, we've been studying about what Brother Copley wrote concerning those first years after Pentecost, how that they in Jerusalem were living under millennial blessings when Israel would be the head of the nations, and it hasn't happened yet. That'll happen in the millennium. And the people that were getting saved in Jerusalem at that time, coming into the believing and getting filled with the Holy Ghost and so forth under Peter and John's ministry, they were all Jews. There was no Gentiles involved there. And Paul was a Jew. He was a blue ribbon Jew, Pharisee of the Pharisee, son of a Pharisee. He kept the law, all 600 and whatever many there were of them. He knew the Old Testament scripture, but he also calls himself the chiefest of sinners. And so when did he get saved? What year? We don't know. Connie Barron-Howson put a big question mark behind it and say he got saved in AD 36, and I'm going to go with that date. It may be correct, it may be off a couple years, one way or the other. He got saved after they had slain Stephen. Stephen, in the book of Acts in chapter 7, you read about Stephen. Let's go back there for a minute. And we're going to talk about Luke, but we're going to talk about what Luke wrote about. And Luke wrote the book of Acts. He wrote in Acts. He wrote Acts 7. He wrote in Acts 6 about seven men full of the Holy Ghost. You'll read about this in Acts 6, 5. They wanted to have some people help them out, the apostles, because of the growth of the church there in Jerusalem. And so they chose, in verse 5, Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost. They chose Philip and Porcius and Nacor and Timon and Parmenes and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Antioch, Syria, okay? These men, all the last five, we only read about them one time in Scripture, and that's right here. Stephen, we read about him seven times, all in the book of Acts. And then we read Philip 16 times. 16 is a number of love. And we're going to look at it for a moment here today that, well, Philip, he got to know the Apostle Paul. He had that opportunity, and he did. He loved Paul. He loved Paul's gospel. But Paul was this guy named Saul of Tarsus also. He was the guy that was standing by when they stoned Stephen to death. If we just read here in Acts 6, 5, how that these seven men were all chosen. Stephen in verse 8 of Acts 5 was full of faith and power and did great wonders and miracles among the people. It sounds a lot like what was taking place with Peter in his ministry there in the early part of Acts that we've been studying about. And we find that that's the kind of man that Stephen was. And we read a sermon of Stephen in Acts 7. And we've talked about this before. Luke wasn't there. Luke, let's go back to Colossians for a moment. Hold your place in Acts 7. Luke is a Gentile. You'll get arguments on that too. Colossians 4. If you read in Colossians 4, Paul writes of different ones. He writes of Tychicus and Colossians 4, 7. He writes of Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. One of you who? Colossae. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister, son to Barnabas. That's John Mark. He was with Paul there at that particular point. And Jesus, in verse 11, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which has been a comfort to me. So those were those guys that we just read about were Jews. Epaphras, who is one of you, in verse 12, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. And then... In verse 14, We read of Luke, who Paul here calls the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. These were ones that Paul, Gentiles, that Paul had collected during his ministry. Well, let's go back here for a moment. And we'll get back to Acts 7 in a little bit. When did Paul and Luke get to know each other? If we make the assumption that Paul got saved in AD 36 and that he was brought from Tarsus to Antioch, which he was in Acts 9:26. He was a teacher there at Antioch, and that was AD 44, that, according to Connie Barnhausen. Luke is thought to have been one of the ones that was there in Antioch to begin with. Okay? So let's bring this down the road a little piece, and we'll tie this together. I think it would be important to do that. In Acts 7, we'll go back there. We're jumping around. I know. And that's why I like to have my notes written out. But we have a sermon by Stephen, a man full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost that we just read about. And this sermon is recorded word for word by who? Luke. Where did Luke get that? Luke wasn't there. The sermon was probably preached around 35, maybe AD, somewhere in there. 7 years or so, it is thought, after the crucifixion of Jesus. And they laid their clothes at a young man's feet in Acts 7, 58, whose name was Saul, that's Saul of Tarsus. He was there at the stoning of Stephen. But the words that Stephen spoke, full of power, full of faith, and full of the Holy Ghost, pricked this young man, Saul of Tarsus, heart. He still remembered him. Those words, that sermon played over and over in his mind. He was the one that Jesus, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, says it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, the pricking of your conscience of these words that you heard preached by a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, Stephen. So that happened probably when Paul got saved. Let's say it's AD 36 and he met Luke 7 or 8 years later in Antioch, Syria. Now, when Paul, let's see, we went through over this a few Sundays ago. In Acts 13, we find that there were in the church that was at Antioch, in Antioch, Syria, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas. We studied about, a little bit about Barnabas in Acts 4:36 a couple weeks ago. And Simon, that is called Niger, Lucas of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, that's Saul of Tarsus, that's he'll be later in that chapter called the Apostle Paul, along with Barnabas. This is the chapter they were sent on their first missionary journey. It says they were teachers and prophets there in Antioch. That's where Luke got to first hear Paul teach. I think we go back to Acts 11:26. You'll find that it was Barnabas who went to Tarsus to seek for Saul, That is our Apostle Paul in 11:26 of Acts. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, Syria. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That is when Luke, we think, first got to know the Apostle Paul. So you think about this. Luke, in Acts 16, he joins up with Paul for a brief time. This is on Paul's second missionary journey. This is in Acts 16. And we find that, we know that Luke wrote the book of Acts, but you find in verse, Paul had come to Troas. He was with Timothy, he was with Silas, and there we find that they were in Troas, and it says in verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia. Whenever you read the word Macedonia, you think of about three different places. One of them is Berea, one of them is Thessalonica, and the main one you should think of is Philippi. These are all churches of Macedonia, Philippi being a main one. There stood a man of Macedonia. And how did he know he was a man of Macedonia? They must have dressed a little different. You know, how do you know somebody's a Bronco fan? How do you know somebody's a Kansas City Chief fan? They dress a little different. Think about it. And different countries have different means of dress, different customs. And so there was a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now note this next verse. After he, Paul, had seen the vision, immediately we would be, well, the guy that's writing this would be Luke, Paul, Luke, Timothy, Silas, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called who? Us. Us who? Well, Paul, Timothy, Silas, and Luke called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And therefore, verse 11, loosing from Troas, we, all the same guys again, came with a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and the colony, and who? We. Paul, Timothy, Silas, Luke were in that city abiding certain days. Verse 13, and on the Sabbath we, Luke, Silas, Timothy, Paul, went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we again sat down, and that's where they begin ministry. So we find that Luke had joined Paul on the second missionary journey of Paul's, having met up with him, it seems, in Troas there, and had traveled with him over to Philippi. Luke was there. Luke knew Paul's gospel from way back when he met him back there in Antioch in Syria. As far as Timothy and Silas are concerned, they traveled from Antioch, Syria, being sent by those of Antioch, Syria on this second missionary journey of Paul's. They traveled with Paul, probably 6 to 8 months before they got to Troas. And when they, well, they didn't really accomplish a whole lot. If you look back there in Acts 16:6, you'll find it early on in that when they were there in Derbe and Lystra in Acts 16:1-6, that they established the churches in the faith there. But Paul had done that in those same assemblies on his first missionary journey. Verse 6 of Acts 16, when they had gone throughout Perga and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, Paul's Asia, when they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, and they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. So we see that they didn't get to do a lot of preaching, but Paul did do a lot of teaching to the two that were with him at that time, Timothy and Silas. You don't find Luke being part of the we there, of that group. So what did Paul do during these 6 to 8 months he was traveling with them? He taught them Paul's gospel message. And if you think about it and you know your church history a little bit, Paul, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. We call him a church apostle. But there were 8 of them altogether, 8 church apostles. Timothy was one of them, and so was Silas. They learned Paul's gospel message from Paul himself, just like Barnabas did. Barnabas learned from Paul himself there at Antioch, Syria, and then when Paul and Barnabas traveled together, what message did they teach? Paul's gospel message. So let's go back to Luke 1 for a minute. This is kind of foundational in our study of Luke. We got a few more minutes here this morning. But the first sentence of Luke 1 is 4 verses long. And Luke writes, "For as much as many has taken in hand," we could say a pen or a quill, "to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." Among us who? Believers. Believers in Christ. "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." Who were from the beginning ministers and eyewitnesses of the word? These were people that Luke had been taught about, John the Baptist and Jesus and Peter and John. They were in the beginning ministers of the word. "It seemed good to me," Luke also, "having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first," meaning from the very first when John the Baptist came on the scene, "to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." We talked about Theophilus, how he was a main man there in Antioch, Syria. Remember, they were called Christians first in Antioch, and we read that this morning in Acts 11:26. Well, Theophilus, he was one of the main guys there. So he writes this in order, in a chronological order is what he means to say, of what had happened from the beginning, "that thou mightest know," verse 4, "the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Who instructed Theophilus? Teachers that we read about in Acts 13:1, two of them being Paul and Barnabas. So, okay, in Acts 16, we showed where Luke joined up with Paul and ended up in Philippi and helped in the establishment of the church there at Philippi that Paul established there. In the end of Acts 16, Paul and Silas left Barnabas wasn't with them here, and so did Timothy, but we don't read that Luke writing we and us anymore. And then Paul goes on through what we were talking about this morning in Thessalonica and Berea, and he went to Athens down there, he went to Corinth, established a church down there. When he left Corinth after a year and a half, he took with him Aquila and Priscilla. He went over into Ephesus and said, howdy, I'll be back, and left. Aquila and Priscilla, they stayed there. That's when we find that Apollos came to Ephesus. And he would have confused those at Ephesus if he would have been able to continue preaching what he taught, because he was instructed in the way of the Lord according to Acts 18:25. Being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, but he only knew the baptism of John. He didn't know about the death, the life and death and resurrection of Jesus and the sending of the Holy Ghost. Well, Aquila and Priscilla, they had sucked in as much information as they could from the Apostle Paul when he was there, because they were tent makers with Paul. If you'll look back there at Acts 18, 3, they were of the same craft. And so Paul lived with them. And while he worked, he taught them Paul's gospel message. They became little ministers. They had a church in their house. And this guy, Apollos, oh, we all would have paid good money to hear him preach. He was a very eloquent preacher. And they went and heard him. And they thought, well, he's very good, but man, is he behind times. You know, so they took him and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They brought him up to speed. He talked to him about Jesus' death, his resurrection, and the Holy Ghost, and Paul, and Paul's gospel message, and he took it in. He was of a kind of a hard attitude where he could learn something. He could be taught. And where was he going next? If you read the last couple of verses, Apollos went to Corinth. Well, Paul had already been there. So if Apollos would have got there and trying to teach them about the baptism of John the Baptist and about the coming Savior, they would have been really messed up, wouldn't they? They were kind of messed up to begin with, those at Corinth. But he'd learned from Aquila and Priscilla, that cute little couple, Paul's gospel message, and was able to enhance their knowledge of what Paul had taught them when he got there. Isn't that wonderful? So Paul begins a third missionary journey in those first part of Acts 19. He ends up in Ephesus for about 3 years. And at the conclusion of Paul's third missionary journey in Acts 20, there was an uproar in Ephesus. And it says in Acts 20, verse 1, after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. Again, think Philippi. And when he had gone over those parts and given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, where David talked about there this morning. And he abode there 3 months, that would be in Corinth. And when the Jews laid wait for him, he was about to sail into Syria, that would be Antioch, Syria, because they are the ones that sponsored his missionary journeys. He purposed to return through Macedonia, read there Philippi. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, who'd been traveling with Paul off and on this missionary journeys, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. For us who? Who's writing it? Luke. Where was Luke? Well, he was gathered up. It says in verse 6, and we, Paul and these other seven, sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. That's where we find Luke again writing in the first person. He'd been there at Philippi this time. Where else would he have been? 6 years about at Philippi. Paul had established a church there, but who had grounded these saints in the truth and taught them Paul's gospel message? It would have been mostly Luke. Paul came back a few times, visited. Timothy was up there once in a while. But Luke was there. Luke was there. And so when Paul gets arrested in Jerusalem in Acts 21, Luke had gone there with him. Isn't that amazing? Luke was there. And with Paul, Luke didn't get arrested. Paul got arrested. And so Luke was hanging out there in Jerusalem for the first time probably that he'd been to Jerusalem. He got to meet all these people that he'd heard so much about. And he got told all these stories that we've been talking about for the last 3 years in Sunday school. No doubt he got to meet Mary, the mother of Jesus, learned all these things about Jesus. He got to meet Peter, whom he'd heard about. We can talk about this more later on as we go into our studies. So next week, if the Lord tarries and he doesn't come between now and then, we'll pick up our studies in Acts 5. But I wanted to give you a quick review, and I hope you got something out of it this morning.